We hear again a few verses from the appointed gospel reading of John 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." In the name of Jesus. There are some words that we hear or use so often that maybe we forget their impact, their force, the edge that they might have. A word like literally, it can be used for things now which are not literal. It can be used for literally anything. Maybe a word like awesome. Only so many things can be actually awesome. If everything's awesome, then nothing is. For the Christian, maybe the word gift or give. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Or the verse we have in front of us this morning, maybe the most known verse of all the scriptures for people, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So we want to not lose the radical meaning of this word. We want to hold tight to what this word gift means for us and what the word gift also does not mean, what it rules out. Nicodemus did not know how to receive gifts. Nicodemus knew much. He was a Pharisee, and that's serious business. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a teacher of Israel. He knew much. He knew the Bible by heart. They would memorize the whole Old Testament, or at least the first five books. He was, to put it in today's language, a Bible preacher. And we can know that if you would have gone to hear one of Nicodemus's sermons, he would have been quoting the Bible left and right. He would have been taught the law, and he knew how to keep the Torah. The Ten Commandments came off of his lips as easily as if he were talking about the weather. And he knew many other commandments too, commandments that the Pharisees had designed to keep good order, to show people how to live, to make sure everyone was doing everything right. Nicodemus knew much. He could teach you much. But he did not know how to receive gifts. But now Nicodemus is standing before Jesus. Not before the Bible presented as a book of rules and regulations. Not before his fellow Pharisees as one who can judge others by the law. Not before his neighbors as one who could tell them how to do things right. He's standing before Jesus. And Jesus is the giver of gifts. It was by night that Nicodemus came to Jesus, privately, almost as if he knew that he would be hearing things from Jesus that a good Pharisee should not be hearing, but he wanted to hear it anyway. The first thing Nicodemus hears from Jesus turns his world upside down. John 3:3, Jesus answered Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This, for Nicodemus, is radically different. Not the part about the kingdom of God. Nicodemus knew how to talk like that all day long. He had taught it to himself, to many people. To see the kingdom of God, you obey the law. You keep the Torah. To see the kingdom of God, you live a clean life. Nicodemus knew his way around that block. But what is this born again Jesus is speaking of? Birth. That's not something you do. No baby is born from his mother because he was being obedient. To make the kingdom of God a matter of being born, this is to take it completely out of the realm of obedience, out of something the person can do. What baby was ever born because he made a decision to be conceived? Who among us were brought into the open air of that hospital room because we called God into our heart? Being born is passive. To be born is to receive a gift, the very gift of who you are, of your life before God. This can't be, not in Nicodemus's world. John 3:4. Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? At least Nicodemus is now seeing the problem. Being born is receptive. It's passive. It's not something you do for yourself. And Nicodemus has never taught that. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." John 3:5. Jesus, the giver of gifts, will have Nicodemus live only by gift, not by works, not by decision, not by obedience, by gift. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever has faith in him should not perish but have eternal life." John 3:16. Jesus will have you and me live only by gift, not by works, not by decision, not by obedience, by gift. By gift, Jesus gives you the new birth of water in the Spirit. If it were by your work, your effort, then it would be by your flesh. "But that which is born of the flesh is flesh," says Jesus, "and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You are born of the Holy Spirit. By flesh, you know your sin, your shame, your fear of death. At the same time, by faith, your life created by the Holy Spirit, you know the righteousness that belongs to you by the word of Christ Jesus. You know the honor that belongs to you as you stand before the Father, bearing the name given you in baptism, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By faith, you know that being given birth by the Spirit, you belong to life, eternal life, with no fear of death. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that by faith in him, you will not die, but have eternal life." This word gift, the word give, we want to not lose its radical meaning. We want to hold tight to what this word gift means for us and what it rules out. It means that from God, all things come to us by grace, by way of gift. Just as we had nothing to do with making a decision to be born of our natural mother, we have nothing to do with being born of the Holy Spirit. This word gift means that even as our Lord gave us his name in baptism, in giving us his name, he gives us everything that comes with his name. He gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives gifts, giving us the gift of the gospel, the gift of the forgiveness of sins, the gift of justification before the Father, the gift of everlasting life. It is all of one piece. We can't divide it up. The Lord does not give out his name piecemeal. When he gives you his name, he gives you everything he has done for the sinner in that name and everything that he is as your Lord. And what the word give, the word gift, cannot mean is you earn it. If you earn it, it is no gift. Any child can tell us that. In the catechism, when we're teaching our children, when the catechism speaks of the Holy Spirit, in the section of the third article of the Creed, it says, "The Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins in the sins of all believers. On the last day, he, the Holy Spirit, will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. Ours is the life of gifts. John 3:17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In the name of Jesus, amen.